Hey there.
Hey Quentin, how are you doing?
Very good. How are you doing, Tommy?
Good, thanks for taking a few minutes.
Hey, no problem.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Denver.
Right on. Well, can you just, for the benefit of those who aren't as familiar with you, take a second to give your introduction, give a bit of a background on your career?
Sure. I'm a gold exploration geologist. I've been working in the industry for about 27 years now. Worked for major mining companies, including Newcrest and Newmont, up until about 7 or 8 years ago. I joined the junior sector, started it evolving, but I've helped a number of junior companies, including Gold Canyon, Euromax, Prosperity Goldfields, and now I am the CEO president of Novo. Novo is a company that's focused on a project in Australia. This is one I've been chasing for a number of years now, almost 8 years. And basically been kind of anticipating this. This is the kind of the crescendo of my career here. This is the one I've been chasing for a long time.
Well, yesterday I was talking to Bob Moriarty, who's your friend, and he's and we were talking about the idea of peak gold, and he made a joke like it's not possible. You should see Quentin's project with Novo. And so I'm curious. I don't know much about it other than a quick scan of your website, but why don't you tell me just from the top what you think you have there, and what's the
Okay,
latest?
sure. The reason I'm so passionate about this project is because it is one of the most interesting gold prospects I've ever seen, or I think a lot of people will have ever seen. Look at gold production through history. Most of the gold, and not most of it, but much of the gold that's been produced on this planet has come out of the Witwatersrand gold fields in South Africa. This is a basin that's about 300 kilometers long. It's about 150 kilometers wide. It's basically a small trough of on Earth's crust that collected sedimentary rocks, in particular conglomerates that contain gold. And these conglomerates were discovered in 1886. Since that time, have produced about 1.6 billion ounces of gold, which is roughly 35 or 40% of all the gold ever produced on Earth. Well, the holy grail amongst exploration is it certainly in gold, is finding another Witwatersrand. A lot of people have looked at various basins on the planet. They're looking for similar analogs. Nobody's ever discovered one so far, but I think the work we're doing in Australia is now demonstrating that we have the same geology, very similar rocks, very similar time frame that they were deposited. The parallels are somewhat spooky in how close these two systems are. In fact, it's speculated that the Pilbara Craton, the craton that hosts what we're exploring, was once connected to what's called the Kapval Craton in South Africa, and that these two pieces of crust once formed a contiguous landmass called the Valbera Craton, and it was reckoned that that was the earliest piece of crust on planet Earth. We're talking about over 2.5 billion years ago now, that this thing existed, and that it's more than a coincidence that we're seeing the same rocks in Australia. It's indeed the broken half of South Africa. So we're excited about what we're doing. We're excited to see the continuity prove true through our drilling. We've only scratched the surface here. We've got two areas that we're working. One's called Beaton's Creek. One's called Nulligine. Or sorry, one. Sorry, back up. One's called Beaton's Creek, and one's called Marble Bar. We've only scratched the surface at Beaton's Creek. We did a little bit of drilling, something like 200 shallow RC holes, and have quickly come up with a resource of over 400,000 ounces that was announced on May 1st, I think it was. But it's really just the beginning of what could be something much, much larger. We see these reefs hold together from hole to hole to hole, and they project outwards into this basin, which is quite large. I mean, it sounds absurd, but this could be the beginnings of a major gold discovery.
So it's a flat deposit, is that right? Kind of like potash or something?
It is actually very similar. Amazingly, as old as these rocks are, they're over 2.5 billion years. These things have never been tilted or deformed, folded or things like this, in any significant way. So they're relatively flat lying, which is interesting because for a number of reasons. First of all, it suggests we have a broad area where these rocks are at relatively shallow depth.
What sort of depth are we talking about?
Oh, we're talking from surface down to maybe 50, 60 meters.
Not okay. Deep at all.
Yeah, not deep at all. It's basically something akin to maybe a coal seam or, where you could open cast mine this fairly easily. But these rocks could project outwards into the basin, and they'll get deeper as you go southwards into the bigger part of the basin. This is fantastic stuff. It's certainly amenable to open cast mining. You look at the Witwatersrand, the beds have been deformed. They've been folded upwards, so they dip actually fairly steeply now. So they had to mine those things underground almost from day one. In this case, we've got a very broad area, probably 3 or 4 square kilometers, where we could easily target these shallow reefs, certainly less than, say, 70 meters below surface.
And what sort of width and grades are you intercepting?
Well, it's interesting. We've got two fairly high-grade reefs. The upper one is about a meter or two thick, and it commonly grades 8 to 10 grams per ton or even more. We have some very, very high-grade intercepts in a few places on that reef. The second reef is about 10 or 15 meters below the upper one. So the bottom reef is about 3 or 4 meters thick, and it grades somewhere around maybe 2 to 4 grams per ton. So it's lower grade, but it's thicker. In between the two reefs, there's low grade, so there's a lot of kind of 0.x gram type grades. There's a little bit of low grade above, and there's a little bit of low grade below. So collectively, we've got a package of rocks that's roughly 30 meters thick, that would bulk out somewhere in the neighborhood of a gram or so, gram per ton or so. But within that, we can segregate out the upper and lower reefs and kind of a buffer around them that could be open pitted, and we get grades on the order of 1 to 2 grams per ton, where you can segregate out a bit of a higher grade component to it.
So how large is your property there?
The property we have at Beaton's Creek is nearly 600 square kilometers. We actually have it's part of our agreement with Mark Chris, but we have an option to extend that for about another 600 square kilometers, and I'm going to proceed with that. So we should be signing that sometime in the next month or two.
And so you've only focused on a small.
We've focused on a small part. In fact, the area we drilled is less than half a square kilometer.
Is it realistic or likely at all that it could extend, this reef could extend, to some of the, to some of the boundaries of that property? Like Bob was sort of describing it as it could be bigger than anything we've ever seen. And what do you think of the odds of something like that?
Look, I'll tell you this. I'll put it this way. I've worked on a lot of gold projects. Many gold projects, you start working on them and they kind of go sideways or they go downhill quickly. It's the exceptional ones where you see things get better. Okay, so when we started drilling this thing about a year ago, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know if these reefs would start dipping deeper, and get deep quickly, or we didn't know anything. We didn't know what kind of grades and what kind of continuity and all sorts of things to expect. Well, we drilled it, and the thing holds together great. It looks fantastic. So to answer your question, there are something like 3 or 4 drill holes that were drilled in the past. These are historic drill holes. One was drilled by Mark Creasy, who's the prospector I've been dealing with over there. And then the other 3 were drilled by various parties back in the early 1980s, I believe. And they all hit these same reefs way, you know, considerably further out in the basin at depth. So you think, wow, this is amazing. We've demonstrated good continuity where we're drilling, and we already know that there's some intercepts, you know, several hundred meters further out into the basin. It's not too big of a stretch to start thinking, yeah, this could be continuous and could underlie a large part of our land package.
Are we talking about over like a couple kilometers or tens, if not hundreds of kilometers?
Well, we don't have any data that goes that far out yet, but my queasy gizzard is feeling better about, you know, the suggesting this could underlie tens of square kilometers.
What's your market cap today?
Our market cap, let's see, it's a good question. We are at 72 cents, and we have 42 million shares out. So what does that translate to? Let's see, 42, a little over 30 million bucks.
What's your cash position like?
We have about 4.5 million in the bank.
And how quickly are we going to spend that?
Well, we spent quite a bit to get to where we're at. We spent about $2.5 million to drill up the resource we announced. And right now, I have cut the burn down considerably in light of the market. We could, if things turned around, I could go full guns again. I could start drilling and build a big resource quickly. But I'm keeping our powder dry, so I want to be real careful how I say this. I don't want to give the impression we're not doing anything. We are. We're actually permitting a very aggressive drill program. But I'm waiting for the right time to pull the trigger.
And so how are we going to get you the money that you need? How much money do you think you really need to give this project its due?
Well, look, if I wanted to, when I started this about 2 years ago, when it came clear that Mark was ready to deal, the market was great, you know, and I envisioned raising something like $20 million and just pounding this thing, you know, just going pell-mell. I would love to be able to do that. The thought of raising $20 million, though, right now, you know, it'd be very dilutive. Not looking to do that. But if I had something on, like, we have a ton of warrants that are expiring in November, and if I saw the money come in from the exercise of those warrants, it would bring in about $8 million. I would feel very comfortable being very aggressive at drilling again if I knew that money was coming in.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about Mark Creasy, this prospector? He seems like he's got a bit of a legend to him, and I'm curious to learn more about him.
I think the world of Mark. I think he's a very interesting guy. He is extremely sharp. Some people find him a bit quirky, and I suppose he is. I like the guy. He is absolutely passionate about mining. Almost everything so to give you a little background, he owns an office complex in Perth, in West Perth. It's a four-story building. He has his apartment, living quarters on the top floor, and he has his offices below. And to give you a feel for this guy, he has a huge library of books strictly on mining. He's got various antiquities, you know, collectibles and things from the mining industry that go clear back to very early history of mining. For instance, he's got a copy of Agricola's De Re Metallica, which is the first official volume on mining. And this volume belonged to Agricola's family. It was written back in late medieval time. Yeah, so the guy is just absolutely passionate about what he does. He tends to come up with what some people think are relatively bizarre ideas, you know, thinking, hey, there could be another Witwatersrand in Australia. Or, for instance, he has a property with Sirius resources called, it's the Nova Discovery, but this area is called the Fraser Range, and Mark has had this vision that the Fraser Range hosts another Thompson Nickel Belt, and he's had this view for a long time. So he acquired all the land in this belt, and it was on pure speculation. You know, there was no really solid evidence to support this. But Novo, this discovery that Sirius has made, now proves it. It could be the first of many nickel discoveries in a brand new camp. What we're doing up in the Pilbara is we're looking to kind of fulfill Mark's vision that this is the next Witwatersrand. You know, Mark Mark came from England. He has a degree in mining engineering. He came to Australia in the mid-1960s. He tried working for Broken Hill Mining at Lead Zinc Mine there in Broken Hill. Decided he didn't like working for a large mining company, so he went off and started prospecting. He was dirt poor for many, many years. He made his money by metal detecting. You can find news articles on that give his background if you do a search on the web. But Mark, he through the years he acquired properties. He did enough work to entice some companies to come in. And he finally had his first big score in the mid-1990s when he sold the Bronze Wing and Jundee properties to Great Northern for $117 million Australian dollars.
Wow. What are the terms of your option deal?
Okay, so we have most of our land is with Mark, so I'd say 98% of all the ground we control. Typical Mark Creasy deal is 70-30. We're earning 70% interest. He retains 30% free carried interest to bankable feasibility. So we have to carry the ball through expiration. He gets shareholding in the company. In this case, he does not have shares directly in Novo. He's got shares in a subsidiary company that we have. It's an Australian company that belongs to Novo, called Conglomerate Gold Exploration, and Mark has shares in that. He also gets reimbursed for some of the monies he spent on the project so far, so we do have an obligation to reimburse him. So those are the three terms that Mark sticks to in any deal he's ever done. It's pretty typical.
Pretty straightforward. Now, but how much money do you need to spend to fulfill your earn-in?
Well, fortunately, that's not too onerous. So the minimum expenditure is $1 million, and we've just about completed that already. But we also have to carry this thing forward, basically to a point where we would IPO Conglomerate Gold Exploration, and Mark would get his free trading shares at that point. Now that might take another 2 or 3 years, but. In terms of dollars that we have to expend, it's not too much more, probably no more than $1 million more.
No big deal then. So no. Tell me just while I've got you, what's the best case for Novo, do you think, in terms of size, timeline, and outcome?
Well, the best case for Novo, look, these are very tough times. It's going to be tough to raise money in this environment, especially without being dilutive. Or excessively diluted. But the best case scenario would be we advance this project, we see the warrant money come in, and we can drill this thing fairly aggressively, build up a large resource base. We do have interest. People who know what we're doing and what this project is about have certainly taken interest. I've got interest from other mining companies as well as investors who are, I would say, more technically savvy types. So if we could advance it ourselves, that would be great, but there are other options. We have a neighbor. In fact, part of our property is a joint venture with Millennium Minerals, and there's a possibility we could work with them to put some of this resource we just developed into production. So those are options we're looking at too.
Now, you also were an advisor and a contributor to the Brent Cook's well-known Exploration Insights newsletter.
Yep.
I guess it's been about a year since you joined Brent, right?
That's right. I started doing some writing with him almost a year ago today.
So what are some of the exciting things that you and Brent are looking at or working on right now?
Well, one of the main focuses Brent and I've had for the past few months, I guess, really since the first of the year, has been looking at opportunities out there that are currently undervalued. I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, Brent wrote a piece on some of the larger, the junior companies that have larger projects that appear to have good economics and the companies are presently highly undervalued. And then about a week ago, I wrote a piece on some junior companies that they have smaller projects, but they also look economically robust, and I think that they're undervalued. So we're focusing on finding the value that's out there right now.
I guess you have a disproportionately high percentage of your wealth in the mineral exploration sector.
I have a lot of I bet the farm, let's put it that way. I'd stick to my word. I've put basically every penny I have into resources, in particular Novo. So I participated in the placements we've done at Novo, all of them, and I hold 6% of the company. So hopefully that tells people how committed I am to this. But I am committed to everything I work with. So Gold Canyon, certainly, Prosperity, all of them.
All right, so you don't have to answer this because I know people pay you for this advice, but outside of your companies that you're either involved in as a director or as a founder, what is your favorite name in the resource space right now that you think is just not getting as much love as it should be?
Well,
you don't have to answer, but you can.
Well, let me go through, be real careful here, because I actually see some, and I don't want to have a perceived conflict, because I want to appear that I'm promoting friends and allies. No. But look, I think that I think Rocks Gold is pretty impressive. The high grade discovery they have in Burkina Faso. I also think Dalradian, the project in Northern Ireland, is interesting. I'm real anxious to see what Pretium comes up with in this bulk sample that they're working on, or they're going to be working on.
Me too.
That's another one I keep my eyes on. Some of these companies, I think Continental is very interesting, but their market cap is still pretty darn high. It looked like they came off quite a bit, right? But I don't know that they're an exceptional deal at this point.
I feel like I'm getting too much out of you, and people should be paying for any money.
All right. So, there's a short list.
Look, I really appreciate your time. I think you're an awesome entrepreneur in this business that people should pay attention to, and I'm glad to learn a bit more about Novo and appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Anytime, Tommy.
All right. Well, good luck. I think you are on your way to Australia now, so
I will be soon.
Enjoy the long hours, and look forward to catching up soon.
All right. Take
Thanks,
care.
Thanks, Quentin.
You bet.